Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 8, the last episode of season 2 of this pod. Don't worry, season 3 is happening. It's in the works already. Welcome to episode 8 of season 2 of Mood or Vibe. I'm your host, Solja. Thank you for being here today. You're the best. I love you. I'm just really happy. I've also had a glass of wine. And there's another glass of wine in my hand right now as I record this. So we're doing a little bit of a tipsy podcast today, which is fine because, you know what? There's so much shit that's happened in my life, but I will literally not talk about it publicly ever because I need to hashtag protect my peace. You know what I mean? I'm a little bit on one today. Life has been crazy recently. I'm kind of in a transitional phase, just started my final at school, going home for Easter this upcoming week. So I'm a little bit all over the place, but enjoying life, and that's what matters. Living the dolce vita, as the Italians say, obviously. I don't have a crazy topic for today. I do want to say thank you, everyone, for reaching out after last week's episode. Really means a lot to me. It's not easy to talk about things like that, but I feel a lot better after I do, and especially knowing that I can help people with similar things that they're going through makes it all worth it at the end of the day. But I did get a lot of messages from people being like, are you okay? And I am. That's not the point at all. I'm okay. I wouldn't be talking about it if I wasn't okay to talk about it. Hence why I love this podcast so much, because it's really making me learn a lot about myself and understand, you know, what emotions I have kind of developed and gotten past in life. And, you know, one could say starting a podcast is cheaper than therapy. Anyways, this week I want to talk about just a bunch of random things that I have in my notes app. I think we'll just get right into it and not have the stupid fucking long ass intro. Okay, bye. Let's get into this. So the first thing I actually wanted to talk about is, okay, it's kind of as deep as last week's topic, but we're going to talk about it from a TikTok perspective, so it's okay. Basically, if you guys don't follow me on TikTok, you really should, because that's really where I talk about fashion and stuff that I'm into, whereas on the podcast, because it's so, it's audio, so I feel talking about things that are so highly visual is difficult on here. Don't worry, we'll get into that on season 3. I just wanted to say, follow me on TikTok is basically what I'm trying to say. But no, what I wanted to talk about is on TikTok, I've started posting a lot more of me getting dressed videos and stuff like that. And a lot of that has to revolves around styling skinny jeans or ballet flats or kind of things that are very 2008, 2012 vibes. And I get a lot of people questioning my skinny jean use, but I really don't care because I've realized I'm kind of healing my inner child. Skinny jeans are making me heal my inner child. And that's all that matters basically in my life at this point. But no, sorry about that. I am realizing that I was really afraid of a lot of things as a child, like unimaginably afraid of things. Nowadays, I think it would be constituted as some sort of an anxiety disorder because I would cry about things. I would feel so out of place in things. I would feel just like if anyone said anything mean to me, if anyone said, like, if a teacher was like, "Oh, Maya, don't use the blue pen, use the red one," like, I would feel like my heart was shattering inside of me. So even when I was doing things like that weren't wrong, I felt like I was constantly in this state of like I was so anxious as a child, which probably is an ADHD thing as well, but I was so afraid of doing the wrong thing and everything, and that makes you really conform as a child. And as much as I was just very silent, I was very quiet, but then my parents were always like, "She won't shut the fuck up when she's at home," which is true. I still don't shut the fuck up nowadays, but I'm much more like comfortable in it. But basically what I'm saying is I was so focused on conforming and like not being too loud or anything as a child or like getting in anyone's way that I think I held myself back from a lot of things. Which yeah, I don't know. It's especially in fashion, like if look back at how I dress, like I was definitely dressing my age, but like my sisters are 3 years older than me, so I had this thing where I was like watching what they were watching and I was consuming what they were consuming, but like I wasn't looking like it. And now I can finally do that. So like I would watch The Hills on MTV and I would see my sisters had the Lauren Conrad style book and I would watch them, you know, in their like middle school era when I was still in primary school, and I was like, "Oh my God, I want to dress that way. I want to look like that." And now, I mean, I'm turning 23 and I feel like I'm finally kind of letting myself do that and letting myself be like a child a little bit, which is like such a like weird thing to say, but like I have a lot of like I did a lot of inner child work, like literal like hypnotherapy, to get over a lot of things from my childhood, and now I feel like this is like the final thing of like letting me like allowing myself to express myself like a child. Which I like really, really didn't let myself do. And that's why I also love the podcast because I think when you're younger, you really learn through doing, and I think you need to do and say a lot of stupid things to get to a point of growth in your life. But I was, guys, like when I tell you, there are people that like literally did not hear me say anything other than please and thank you until I was 15 years old. Like I was mute. And I think that's why I'm very passionate about talking nowadays. But like, I just realized it was like me letting to express myself through my clothing, but also in my words, is like really making me, first of all, gain a lot of confidence, but also is like it's letting me kind of be this careless child that I never really was because I was so. Guys, like I was like so hyper focused on not doing the wrong thing when I was a child. And now slowly but surely I'm kind of letting go of that and learning that, you know, it's very human nature to say the wrong thing sometimes. And sometimes you learn it the hard way. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying wearing skinny jeans and talking shit basically is what I'm saying, and it's healing my inner child. That's the conclusive sentence that we've come to. Randomly on the same topic of gaining confidence, I also made a TikTok about this. So I'm just recycling my TikTok content at this point, but something that has really I realized like didn't affect me this much is bleaching my eyebrows. Bleaching my eyebrows is the best thing I've ever done for my self-confidence. Because when you suddenly don't conform into the like ideal beauty standard, which is like so fucking stupid of me to talk about, like a person with like blonde hair and blue eyes, like I get it. But the second you don't conform to that, like people do look at you differently and you get different attention from different people. And I realized I feel more like myself when I have my bleached eyebrows, which I think it's because it's a form of expression to, like, I don't know, I think I look cooler with bleached eyebrows, but like, and I feel like I can also like get away with wearing like really like basic bitch outfits because I don't have eyebrows. But it's something I never realized before of like how big of a crutch I used my physical appearance for confidence. And when you take yourself out of the context of conventionally attractive, you really have to find your confidence from other things. And this was like forcing me. Basically, I'm telling you to bleach your eyebrows because you're gonna get a new perspective on life and you're gonna care about yourself a lot more. But it really like changed the way I carried myself. Not actually, but I like to think that it's like a metaphor for it of like gaining a lot of confidence in yourself and what you want to do in life. So basically what I'm telling you is like do some like random drastic physical change that's like not towards what people see as like the ideal beauty standard and see how that makes you feel, and then realize that you need to do a little bit of work on yourself so that you feel a lot more confident in whatever you look like. Because for so long, I mean, I've talked about this, I think, before on the podcast. If I haven't, trigger warning, trauma dump. But growing up, I like never really got validation beyond the way that I looked. And I understand that that's like a big privilege to have because a lot of people did not have a lot of confidence in the way that they looked when they were growing up. Like, I really did have a lot of people being like, look at this beautiful girl, like pretty girl, whatever. But I didn't get a lot of like reinforcement in the things that I did. It was never like, oh my God, Maya is so good at tennis and so good at, I'm like trying to think of a subject I was good at in school. Not that much. I was kind of okay at everything. But you know what I mean? Like, I was never like bad at things, but I was never like praised for being smart or being good at a sport or anything. And it was always like, oh, Maya's really pretty, which, you know, did wonders for a young girl that, you know, needs a little bit of confidence. Like it's great. But when you're a young girl and no one has ever looked at you or commented beyond your physical appearance, it makes you think that that's where your value comes from. And I really had to learn that. And then I lay on top of that the fact that I had ADHD and I really like didn't feel like I, especially in high school, I felt like I really could not keep up with the other people around me. I felt like everyone was so much smarter than me. And then you just reconfigure the fact that I am smart, but I had just never been like told that because I'm really a person that needs a lot of external validation in life, which is like really fucked up. We're kind of working on that to like not need external validation, which I'm kind of, the eyebrows are kind of doing that for me because the amount of people on TikTok that have told me that I'm so ugly without eyebrows and that I should dye them back instantly is like ridiculous. You guys, I'm slowly but surely realizing that every single topic I have written down for this week's episode is interconnected. And this is how powerful my brain is because, like, who would have thought that, all the random shit that I just like thought that I wanted to talk about today, it's all connected. So, anyways, on the same topic of like self-confidence and really, you know, building on yourself and everything, one thing I really wanted to talk about is today I was like making a TikTok and it was a Nicki Minaj sound. I'm trying to remember which song it was. Anyways, it was a Nicki Minaj song and I was like rapping along to the lyrics and it was like, I was like, damn, like this is, I'm listening to this because of my dad. Like, so basically, my dad is the reason I love Nicki Minaj. He like found one, like the Beam Me Up Scotty mixtape on like Pirate Bay or something and put it on my iPod. He was like, this is cool. My dad's always had very maybe not always, but my dad has a pretty good music taste. And for him in like 2009 to find like a female rapper like Nicki Minaj, who like if you know the Beat Me Up Scotty, like Itty Bitty Piggy era Nicki Minaj, like maybe you shouldn't be showing your 9-year-old daughter this music, but for some reason my father was inclined to. So he put that music on my iPod, and that's why I still to this day really love Nicki Minaj. Like I can't even put into words how I feel about her. Like I really, really, really admire her and really look up to her. But thinking about the fact that it's like my dad that like got me into Nicki Minaj, whereas I think a lot of parents were like, especially in the like mid-2000s, early 2010s era, like there was this huge discourse. I mean, Britney had just, I'm putting in quotes, gone off the rails. Amy had passed away. Everyone, like, it was kind of this, like the female musician was like kind of the worst thing you could be at the time because you were put under such a microscope and really made to be a, like, in quotes, bad role model for girls. And for some reason, my parents, like, completely just like didn't give a fuck and let me listen to. I remember, okay, this is like really deep because this music, I think this album came out in like 2002 or something, or three maybe. The Gwen Stefani Love Angel Music Baby album. I like remember that CD and I remember seeing that photo and being like mesmerized by it. Like I didn't understand any of the songs or anything, but like I was just, that image is so strong in my brain. All of the Britney Spears songs, all the like, I remember seeing Amy Winehouse not listening to so much, but at my summer house, we would always have the like gossip magazines. And I remember seeing the like terrible like paparazzi photos of people being like, Amy's so thin. But I remember seeing her huge winged eyeliner and then taking gel pens and drawing those big gel liners onto the like makeup ads in the magazine and everything. Like my parents, like for somehow all of these female musicians at this time that were like again so hated in the media were really what I looked up to. Like really, really what I looked up to. Don't even get me started with the fact that I was watching was it called Girls Next Door? The show on MTV about, or no, maybe it was on VH1. About Hugh Hefner and all of his girlfriends that lived in the Playboy Mansion, like Holly Madison and Kendra and all of them. So like I really had this like really like extremely feminine, extremely sexualized like perception of what it was to be like I don't know. My parents never had us listen to the censored version of music. I could have any song I wanted put onto my iPod. Like, there was no censorship when it came to music. The only thing they said was, like, okay, just don't repeat the words that you're hearing. Which I think is a great thing to do around children, actually, to not like completely shelter them from bad words, but to let them know that, hey, this is a word, this has meaning. Understand that it has a meaning and use it appropriately. But I realized, like, I think that I feel a lot of confidence in myself throughout the years, like, because my parents really did not villainize the like young female role model in my life. My parents never made a comment of like, oh, you can't listen to Britney Spears. She's this, she's that. Actively told me to listen to Nicki Minaj, Lady Gaga. I remember, guys, I don't even know if my parents know this, but in middle school, I was, no, in like primary school now that I'm thinking about it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anytime Lady Gaga would come out with a new music video, my friends would come to my house and look at the music video on my laptop because their parents wouldn't let them. So I was like the cool kid with like, the like, yeah, come watch the newest Lady Gaga music video at my house, which is like so funny to me. But like my parents really... I do remember, okay, in 2009 or 10, I loved Lady Gaga. And my mom got tickets for my sisters to go see Lady Gaga. And I was so pissed. And my mom was like, no, you're too young. And to be fair, I was too young. And then I think in 2012, I got to see the Monster Ball live. So my mom took me to that one. But yeah, basically, I realized that like the reason I love... if we revert this back to fashion, the reason that I love The Row, I mean, The Row is amazing. The clothes that they make, immaculate. It's just, it's like if you looked up taste in the dictionary, you would see a photo of the Olsen twins. But what I realized, like, to me, that represents a lot more. Because if we look at all of the women that were in the tabloids and everything at the same time as the Olsen twins, they ruined these women. Like Lindsay Lohan and all of them, like they really, really wanted to villainize these young fucking girls. And to me, The Row represents a like young women protecting themselves, getting a bag, which like the fact that they were like, I think they had like, when they were 19, they had a collective net worth of like 50 million or something, like insane amount of money. But I think that they really represent women taking back their power and saying, fuck you to the media. We're going to do what we want to do. And they've just built an empire in it. And it just so happens to be The Row. And The Row is so, so beautiful. It feels like this like divine thing almost to me, because it's like, this is women being powerful. I don't know. I think I'm also overanalyzing things, but it's just really how I feel. But basically what I'm saying is, I really, really commend my parents for never villainizing these young women in my life. I mean, they had three daughters, and I think the fact that they never made a comment on the way they looked, the way they acted or anything, really has been a positive impact in my life. And if you didn't have that in your life, I highly suggest going back and looking at like the fact that like Britney Spears was like 16 years old doing like extremely sexualized dances on a stage and everything. Like you can look at them now and see that they're a victim, but at the time it felt so powerful. And I really, even now to this day, I look up to all these women. I think that they are so fucking cool. And I'm very happy that there was not this like female hatred ingrained into me as a child. But if you do feel that, like I said, highly recommend going back and looking at these things, because I think you'll have a very different perspective nowadays. Especially, I mean, the Free Britney movement has really shined a big light on what Hollywood and, mass print media did to young women at that time, but has really, really like made me feel empowered. Who would have thought? Women can empower other women. Life is crazy. Okay, are we 20 minutes into the podcast and finally now getting into what I initially wanted to make this podcast about? Yes. But I think what we just talked about was a good discussion, and it's showing... I think what's important when you have a platform... Ew, shut the fuck up. Like... I hate saying that, but I do have a little bit of a platform. And I think what I've realized that I really enjoy doing is showing the process that has gotten me to a point of success. And the process here is confidence in my physical appearance, in my smartness. Guys, the second glass of wine is almost empty. Give me a break. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to show the journey of like gaining the confidence to get to a point of like content in my life, right? Basically, what we're about to talk about is, sorry, let me just cut the chase. I don't know what the fuck I was just talking about. What I want to talk about is the idea of doing it for the plot. I don't know if you've heard that. I hope you've heard that. If you're listening to this, you better have fucking heard that. But doing it for the plot is like the idea of like doing something that you maybe usually, or that you usually wouldn't do, but doing it because it's like gonna add a little bit of spice to your life, kind of. And sometimes I think, no, most times I think the concept of doing it for the plot is a great mindset to live by, because I think it's always going to be adding value to your life, because you're going to learn something new, because you're going out of your comfort zone. And you know, I've talked about this before. We've talked about, you know, like how to make friends, how to go on dates, how to meet new people, whatever. And the only way to do it is out of your comfort zone. So if you can, instead of saying, okay, I'm going to push myself out of my comfort zone, and retranslate that into doing something for your plot or your storyline of your life, I think it's a great way to reconfigure a kind of uncomfortable thing to do in your life. And for that, I love it. And I do a lot of stuff for the plot. I mean, I seek a little bit of discomfort in my life at this point, because again, we've talked about this earlier in this episode, I held myself back a lot as a kid. I really, really held myself back a lot. So now when I'm a lot more comfortable in the skin that I'm in, I'm a lot more excited to do things that take me out of my comfort zone, because I never did that growing up. Like the first 18 years of my life, I did not take myself out of my comfort zone at all. So now when I have these opportunities presented to myself to go on a date with, say, the fourth Jonas brother, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? I didn't even talk about this. I a couple months ago, woke up in a castle on the hills of Florence, because I had met people from like LA that were like crazy, crazy lives. They like, it felt like a Black Mirror episode, basically, being around these people. And it was like people that like have worked for Yeezy, people that have like, literally they're like, yeah, I'm meeting Kanye next week. And I was like, what the fuck? And this was like peak White Lives Matter Kanye era. I was so confused. But that's just like one of those stories that like you had to be there to understand. But like, that I did that for the plot. You know what I mean? I did that for the fucking plot. And I came out of it with more information, you know what I mean? And like a fun story to tell my friends in detail, not tell the podcast in detail. Anyways, what I was trying to say is like, I think that there's so much value in doing stuff for the plot, but now here's a but, guys, there's always a fucking but. I think that, I'm not saying everyone, but I think a lot of people have taken doing it for the plot as an excuse to do something destructive to yourself. Because basically, I don't think people understand that like doing it for the plot is about something for you personally. It's for your storyline. So yeah, sometimes it might be stupid, because you're going to go on a date with some guy, or you're going to do this, you're going to do that. But the second you're doing it to conform to someone else's plot, you're not going with the flow, and you're not doing it for the plot. It's supposed to be something new. It's supposed to be taking you out of your comfort zone, and it's supposed to be adding to your life somehow, whether it be a new friendship, a even just a story to tell your friends. It's something that's going to add fun to your life. And if it's adding stress, you're not doing it for the right reasons. You're really not. And saying you're doing it for the plot is not correct. I have a friend who currently there's like a very toxic guy, and she's saying that she's going with the flow with it and seeing where it's taking her, and like she's like doing it for the plot, knowing damn well that this man does not care about her actually and is just bored and a loser that's lonely and using her. But she is convincing herself more than anyone that she's going with the flow and she's just like letting what happens or doing it for the plot or whatever. But that's not what it is, because the second you're conforming to someone else's wants and wishes, it's not you've lost the plot. It's not your plot anymore. You're now a character in someone else's. And I think that's what you need to remember, because I think that it can easily shift into this like toxic mindset of like, oh, I'm gonna go see my ex for the plot. No. Oh, I'm gonna go see this, do this for the plot. No. It's about getting out of your comfort zone. The reason my friend is still talking to this guy is because it's what's comfortable to her. You know what I mean? Put it in that context and you realize there's no plot here. The plot already finished. The plot finished the second that there was like nothing coming from this. Which sometimes I need to take my own advice. But we'll get into that maybe in next season, okay? But yeah, it's something I really wanted to highlight, because I have really preached a lot about putting yourself out of your comfort zone, whether it be going on a Hinge date, going on a date at all, talking to someone new, making new friends in university, any of that. The only way that you are going to grow is in discomfort. My friend today actually went on a date with a guy, and she was talking, she's like, I want to cancel. I don't want to go. Like, I don't know why I'm so nervous about this. And I literally texted her. I was like, it would be weird if you weren't nervous. Like, it would be weirder that way. It's a part of it. Like, feeling that discomfort, feeling that awkwardness, feeling that like, oh my God, I want to cancel right away is part of it. First dates, first meetings, first experiences of any sort are always going to be at least a little bit awkward. And you really need to learn to embrace that feeling instead of push it away or like cancel and not have the feeling at all. Because the reason I say you need to embrace it is because you don't get to feel it that often. In our day-to-day lives, we are very comfortable. We speak to our family members, we speak to our friends, we speak to our roommates, we speak to our professors. These are all people that we already have relationships built with. We understand what the relationship is. So the second you're putting yourself out there in a new situation, it's so normal to feel discomfort. But the thing is you need to appreciate and embrace that discomfort, because it's a feeling you really don't get to feel that often. And I think that's so beautiful. I think that we as people get so stuck in wanting to feel a certain way all the time and wanting to, you know, whether it is that you're chasing sadness or chasing happiness or chasing excitement or whatever, we all have an emotion that we feel most comfortable in. And the second that we can pull ourselves out of it and feel this kind of up in the air, like little butterflies in your stomach being like, is this guy going to be a fucking catfish? Are we going to hit it off? Is it going to be so awkward? What if this happens? What if that happens? That is, I think, when you really grow the most. And I think that it's so underrated. That's what the plot is. The plot is feeling the butterflies in your stomach. The plot is not really knowing what's going to come next, but knowing that no matter what it is, you're going to grow from it. And I think that is what we need to put focus on instead of, oh, do it for the plot. Oh my God, do another shot tonight for the plot. Like, no. The plot, guys, the plot is your life at the end of the day. And I think that we need to keep it at that high value. You know what I mean? So let's be making decisions and making plot choices that, you know, can be a little reckless. Should I go on a date with this random man? Technically, no, but I'm going to do it because it's an experience. Or should I end up in a castle in this like little Black Mirror episode? Probably not, but I did it and I'm so happy I did it. You know, what's that like YouTube channel that's like seek discomfort? But that's kind of what it is. Because it's the only way that we're really going to girl boss our way through life. And I know that I'm like preaching here, but I really, really felt like it had to be said. Because if there's people close to me in my life that are like, that I can see are kind of misunderstanding it, I know that there's people out here listening to this podcast right now. There's enough of you that at least some of you have been misconstruing it and honestly being indulging in some self-destructive behavior instead of this like self-reflective. I don't know what the right word is I'm looking for. I was trying to like do like a nice play on words, but it's not happening today. So basically, the plot needs to be like stimulated, but keep in mind that it's your plot, not someone else's. Don't conform to someone else's plot, okay? That's the vibe. Okay, guys, I'm done preaching. But I hope you gain something from this, whether it be to go look at what the Olsen twins are doing at The Row, or follow me on TikTok at Soldier Maya, or push yourself out of your comfort zone and maybe question yourself if you're doing it for your plot or for someone else's. Those are really the main takeaways of this episode. Because it's something I genuinely feel really strongly about. And I think it goes back into how I've really, really gotten into a lot of self-reflection. I'm in a big self-reflection phase right now. You know, wondering if things I've done in the past have been great. Not really. I think I owe some people some apologies and stuff like that. But enough about me. I think, especially like going into the new season, the sun is shining more, summer's around the corner, self-reflect a little bit and think about the person that you want to be for the next 6 months and show up for yourself and be that person. That's like the best advice we can really give for the end of season two. Because that's what this is. Oh my God, why do I feel like we're like breaking up? But it's literally going to be like 3 weeks off of not posting a pod. It's gonna be rough, guys. I don't know how I'm gonna get through this. Ugh. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. I would just want to say thank you again for listening to the podcast. You guys know it really does mean the world to me. Thank you again for the response to last week's episode. That was really something I wanted to talk about. Even this week, it's really, I'm realizing that I really like doing this style episode more, where I really can like reflect on me and my growth in life. And I hope that it can relate to some other people's lives, which is really what we're trying to do here. We're really just trying to relate and create meaningful human connections. yeah, I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Whether you're on Apple Music or Spotify, please rate the podcast 5 stars, share it with your friends, send this episode to a friend that you think needs to hear about, which plot to be following. You know what I mean? Send this to your parents, send this to anyone you think would enjoy it. Follow me at Soldier Maya on TikTok and Instagram, follow the podcast at Mooder Vibe Pod. And yeah, stay up to date with everything me on Instagram or on TikTok. I kind of post everywhere all the time. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the return of the podcast. Bigger and better things are always coming. And yeah, I hope you don't miss me too much. Thank you so much for listening. I love you. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.